Welcome to another episode of On The Bounce. My name is Sandile Shangase, and the boys allowed me to do the opening intro for this week. I'm going to be incredibly inappropriate, but let's get straight into it. City and Arsenal played this week, and they both choked harder than a Mia Khalifa scene. And just like a Mia Khalifa scene, we all loved to watch it over and over again. Like I said, I'm going for it. Sundowns and Chiefs played this weekend, and in sticking to saying incredibly inappropriate things, kind of felt like Kaizer Chiefs left the back door open and let the boys from Pretoria take advantage of them. It kind of felt like Kaizer Chiefs were hosting water polo trials at that famous Cape Town High School. Anyway, let's keep it going. And things that never made the news, like that Cape Town High School scandal, Scotland and Fiji played and nobody gave a fuck. In the Battle of the Bastards, England played the All Blacks, and like a virgin, it was a tight affair. This is going to be a super exciting show. I've got my boy Ben with me, and I've got Cooks with me, and I've got James there with his jaw on the ground. Welcome to a super exciting episode of On The Bounce. The Springboks are playing, the Proteas are playing, we've got to deal with international rugby, and that's probably the last time they're going to let me do the intro for the show. What's up, guys?
What did you watch for motivation for that? Listen, what? Your search history must be one of the darkest things in this. You know what I actually find the most offensive about that entire thing is that you dress like a photocopy salesman. Today.
Look, I just didn't want to wear a Man United jersey because I knew it was going to be out. But yeah, guys, yeah, welcome to another episode.
Cooks, thanks for being with us today.
It's only, what an intro. Well, the last time I was here, Sandile refused to pour me a second beer.
No, now
he's sort of nice, the monologue. So I'm scared for the third time I come back here.
No, that's my worry. Well. No, I really wanted you back because obviously when you were here the first time, I was in Bulgaria. This weekend we've been waiting for so long because the Boks are back.
Yeah.
Now, what was it, like a 6-week period where we haven't had Boka?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a spoiled child, but it's a bit long.
Yeah.
But it's too long.
It's the absence that makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
We've got Scotland. Team sheet's only coming out on Friday.
Yep.
I know we got into the habit of always seeing it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Again, we just spoiled. So now we're getting rations. Mm. We're going to wait till Friday. Aussies are going to get their disastrous Grand Slam leg underway. And the Kiwis are going to lose New Zealand. But let's get back to the football.
Yeah.
I think you went quite light on Arsenal.
Yeah, I was winning.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that because it dawned on me that Arsenal is my team for life because essentially they're like the Proteas of football.
Ben, for me, it's all the crazy things you said throughout this, you know, the season. This is the time. It's happening now. You even said it in front of your father, so the satisfaction will come back when I get to get all those clips.
We've only played 10 games. We've only played 10 games.
Oh, this is now. It's the hope that Arsenal gave their fans, and they broke it so early.
It's funny.
You've already dropped 2 games, and you know it means that you've got to go undefeated for the rest of the season. This is what we've been seeing in the EPL.
So I had a contingency plan in my mind. You can lose 5 games and still win the EPL.
No.
Technically, I mean, if the other teams don't.
Yeah, they drop points as well, yeah.
So I just thought that the rock bottom is 5 losses, and we've lost...
3?
3.
Ooh.
In the first 10.
You've lost 3, and it's not happening.
I don't know. I wouldn't ride off Arsenal so soon. I'm saying it because we've got to play them on Sunday. But, I mean, to be fair, the Chelsea fan is great. I think it's probably been like, 15 years since we've been above Arsenal. So I've been enjoying this week. I mean, it's been...
Shout out goal difference.
Yeah. Shout out goal difference. I've been enjoying this week. It's been fantastic. But, I mean, Arsenal obviously have had 1,000 injuries and Odegaard is back now. So I do think that... we might catch the real Arsenal just before the international break. That's what scares me.
But this is the real Arsenal. The conversations we're having earlier in the season is that this is going to be an incredibly long season. We've got all your superstars who've played incredibly, you know, long games. They played Euros. They've played so many games. This was going to be the test of how good Mikel Arteta's system is. And he continuously plays the same players. And now, you know, Saka's going to be next if it continues to happen like this. And this is how you win championships, with depth.
Saka's young. He's made out of magic. He's fine.
As you guys said, the time was now. And we knew the depth once Odegaard got out is that this was going to be a huge problem. And this is a test of a championship team. And they've kind of shown that they're not built for it.
Yet.
Next year. As we always say, next year.
Yeah, I mean, what I did, like, the best meme slash whatever Arsenal dig it was Arsenal's like a Netflix series. You're always waiting for the next season.
Or Arsenal like Eric Ten Hag, or Arsenal like Kamala Harris.
Yeah, okay, look, fair enough. Keep it coming. But we're 10 games in, and yes, Arsenal have been like the Proteas. They've given us the hope, and they've just shown fuck all intent. I mean, that Newcastle game was one of the most frustrating moments ever. I then lost money on England because they bottled it as well. I mean, cheap as I
we need to put up the graphic of you being Drake now, because I think it's I'm no longer Drake. It's been some
I'm just gonna point out, do you know where I ended up on Saturday after all the sport?
Tell us.
Babylon.
Oh, jeez.
My day was not going great. I thought, you know what? Just go for drinks.
Make it even worse.
Yeah, look, I've been a bit of a mess since then because, as you can see, if you're watching the show live, I'm not actually wearing shoes right now. It's not because I'm from Durban or because it's swelteringly hot in here. Always the contrary. Yeah. I got such bad blisters, and then I went and played golf on Monday. The blisters came from me having like bunker practice, mm-hmm. and then sand got in my shoes like a bad Dido song. And then I walked around a bit, and then it was so embarrassing. 9 holes in playing Gary Player on Monday. I took my shoes off and I played Kyle Foot. So
like, that is crazy.
My play partner, I was called Felix Akint.
Oh my goodness. We need to put that picture on.
Still, on those 9 holes that I played barefoot, birdie 2 of them.
No, shout out.
All right. So look,
this is the trend now. I just wanted to say, like, if push comes to shove and you don't like your ligaments, I mean, that's the way to go.
The only reason I could probably play barefoot is because I train barefoot and I wear barefoot shoes and I do those kind of things. But I would not suggest it to anybody to go into a golf course or swing a club. So yeah, the show this week is all about the rugby. We're going to go through the chances of Australia, New Zealand, Argentina and South Africa, the rugby championship nations, against the northern foes. I've also got something that's really interesting that I found out recently called the Rayburn Shield. You guys heard of this?
Yeah, that's quite cool.
Going to blow your mind. I knew Cooks would know about it. That's why he's on the show today. So, rugby coming back at you very hard, just like Sandile's opening right after this. Welcome back. It is the Autumn Internationals happening. So that's obviously when we play test matches in their autumn. Northern Hemisphere autumn, the best autumn. That's why they call it the Autumn Internationals. But guys, there's a fantastic dynamic here because obviously when the World Cup is played, Southern Hemisphere teams win.
Yep.
Except for England in 2003, that was an anomaly. Mm-hmm. It was 2003, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. Only happened once, so forgive me if I got that one wrong. Yeah. But then the Autumn Internationals are when we get to play these Oaks on a better footing for them. But what's really cool is we play at really great grounds like Murrayfield, Twickenham, yep. Principality Stadium?
Yeah.
Because that was
Millennium Stadium.
And yeah, okay. And then the Aviva Stadium, which was old Lansdowne Road, which, fun fact, used to be the oldest rugby ground in the world, followed by Newlands, who's also not a ground anymore.
Hectic.
That's a great fact.
That fact sounded a lot more fun in my head than actually out of my mouth. So, I mean, look, really, really cool dynamic. The South versus the North. It's going to be the best month of rugby outside of a World Cup. Yep. But in many ways, because there's no title at the end, we'll never beat the World Cup, but we're getting strength for strength like never else, any sort of cycle. So let's start out with that. We're going to go look at all the sort of teams. So we're going to follow the rugby championship teams, Argentina, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. And that is the alphabetical order. So Flex, if we can just bring up the Argentine fixtures here, please. So Argentina, I mean, when World Rugby gives you a 3-test series, you feel like the ICC is basically saying, as a South Africa, this is your test nation schedule. Yep. They're only getting 3 tests, one of which is being against Italy on the 9th. So that's this weekend now. Then they've got Ireland, which, yeah, obviously, they are the number one ranked team in the world. You don't get many ranking points for winning World Cups, clearly. Yeah, and then November 22nd versus France, which is always good because Argentina, France, they play similar leagues. Yeah. Very similar kind of thing. They play quite a lot in World Cups for some reason.
Yeah.
So, Cooks, I'll start with you here. What do you see Argentina's chances over those 3 tests?
So, interesting enough, obviously, I mean, I think they probably have the second hardest tour besides the All Blacks. I mean, they're also facing Ireland and France. I really think that Italy's going to beat Argentina in the first game this weekend. I really got a feeling. Italy had a great Six Nations. And I think Argentina, you don't know which Argentina side's going to rock up. That's the problem. I don't think they know which side's going to rock up either. I can see them being an island of France, but the same way I can see them losing to Italy. So Argentina, I mean, it's a bit of a shit show because they show so much promise. I mean, having beaten Australia, the Wallabies, they beat us. Yeah. They beat the All Blacks, but I don't know. I think they'll come away from their 1 out of 3. And I think that the one that will be either between France or Ireland.
Interesting call. Ooh,
that's
that.
That's a crazy call.
So, I mean, obviously we saw Argentina. Mathematically, the final game of the Rugby Championships was a final. Yeah. Argentina could have won the title.
Yeah.
But they crashed and burned, as we expected, and no one ever thought like they were title contenders. I mean, Marnie gave them 4 points in Santiago, wherever. Okay, I mean, that's not what I mean. They squeaked a win against us at home.
Speak your truth,
okay?
Brother. Speak your truth, but if people, it's in your heart.
There's no doubt Argentina are kind of, put this in cricketing terms, kind of like Bangladesh were a while ago. People kept saying they're an emerging nation. They keep making improvements. But they also then kept the bar quite low, so that would always be true. Do you feel that they actually showed enough in the Rugby Championships that they have actually improved?
Yeah, I think they are. I've actually got them going 2-1. I think just coming off of beating probably the strongest nations in rugby. And, you know, they gave all of those teams strong, strong matches. I mean, we saw that forward pack really played out of its socks. We thought we'd just run over them with our scrums, which we didn't. And I've got them 2-1, and I think they actually have improved because the bar before this was super low. Now they came to us, and then they gave everybody in that series, you know, problems. So I think I got them 2-1. I think they dropped the game against Ireland, and they win against France, and they win against Italy.
Okay, so one of the things that they improved so much on is that they were so dangerous on counterattack. They ran those Aussies ragged.
Yeah.
It was actually, it wasn't even men versus boys. It was men beating boys with a bat. It was rough. Cooks, now in Northern Hemisphere conditions, heavier fields, probably a bit of cuck weather. Yeah. Do you think that might negate the thing that maybe they're most dangerous with?
Yeah, I think so. I think because, I mean, their biggest threat has always been their counterattack. I mean, we saw them go to New Zealand and almost beat them at their own game. But I think obviously that now with Argentina, my worry is when he gets the tactical battle. That's my worry. Like, I can't see them winning a test match sort of 15-10 or 15-12 or like with the kind of, I can't see them knuckling down a win. But I can, for example, like something like Italy, I think that game could be high scoring potentially against France. But My worry with them is it's the discipline thing. Like, I know in the Rugby Championship it improved, and they're like, we'll save all our red cards for nail spreads. That's what they pretty much did in the Rugby Championship. So like, that's my issue with them. Like, you can't say like discipline wise they're gonna get better. Like, yeah, they'll be like, they might not get any cards in the first two games and get 90 in the last game. But
well, Cooks, it's like the saying goes, a Jaguar doesn't change its spots.
Yeah. That is true. But I do think the fields will definitely negate them. Like, France is basically a home game for most of those Oaks. I mean, they'll play the top 14, sure. So they don't worry too much about those fields. But it's just, for me, can they win a tight test match if it does go into a bit of a slog fest where it's not actually about scoring 30, 40 points. It's, can you basically just get that one try to win a game if it's a 15-12 sort of game? I don't know.
Just do what England can't do, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty well.
Close the game, I'd have a fly that could go.
That discipline thing that you mentioned is probably the biggest critique that we always have against Argentina. Which team shows up? Are they going to be disciplined, or are they going to give us all the red cards as per usual?
The red cards are coming. It's a bit of a win.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a package deal. Just when you get the package.
Yeah. So I think 2-1.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm going to go with one out of three. I think the French, I mean, this is why I want to go through the formats when we talk about the Southern Hemisphere teams, because we're going to pick up aspects of the Northern Hemisphere teams as we discuss this. I think the French are at a stage now where, having hurt so much from losing the World Cup to us, and then more heartache in the Six Nations, DuPont being told he's basically Zeus if he played rugby, I think the French are going to tighten up in this series, and this is the series for them to really do that. Moving on to Australia, this to me, I think is, I was going to say, I think this is funny. These are the cuckers right now. They get the best tour. They get the Grand Slam tour, which we all want, because you want to go over there, and while you're there, you know, it's like when you go a long way on a holiday, it's like, well, I'm here now, I might as well do as much as I can.
Yeah.
They've got that fixture list.
Yeah.
So if we just get the graphic up there about Australia. Australia have got England straight up, so this weekend here. England prime for the taking here, because their coach doesn't read games. He just basically says, 62, put that oak on, take that oak off, do that.
But it's nice knowing you're training that you're coming on like in the 60th minute. Like, come hello, high water, you're going on the field.
It's great, you can set your watch. It really is. It must be fun.
Tactics. Yeah.
Tell the family, like, guys, 60th minute, switch
make
your
sure you're on the field. Yeah. And then they've got Wales, then they've got Scotland, and then they finish up with Ireland. I mean, let's try not to be too disparaging here. Australia, in my mind, are going to go, fuck, we can maybe beat Wales
and Scotland.
No, I really don't even see that. So they're going to go, cool.
I think they could.
That's what we're priming ourselves for. They have shown a touch of maturity by bringing internationally based players into the squad, which you should be doing it anyway. Again, I don't want to hit them like too hard, but they've got this Grand Slam tour and then they've got the British and Irish Lions next year. So you cannot have a tougher run, really, for this team at a time when they really just don't have the players or anything like that. Am I being too negative by just saying Wales? Or do you think that after the drubbings they took in the Rugby Championship, they would have learned enough, they would have had the humble pie? I don't know, maybe they would be more composed. I just don't know what to say other than saying something negative is where I'm going with this.
The only plus side for you, Australia, is the fact that you got the international players back.
Yeah, so
the
a guy like Skelton. Yeah,
I think that makes a massive difference. Now you're hoping someone like Karevi is that sort of the same player he was a couple of years ago. I mean, you got that the Joseph Sahili guy who's basically coming from NRL. That's an interesting story for him because he's playing his first ever game of rugby union in a test match.
Yeah.
So basically, like, fuck, what's ever having Super Rugby? Yeah. Like,
how's that for all the other oaks in that position who actually play rugby union for a living?
They're like,
but a whole season of Super Rugby with a club, the guys rock stuff's like, yeah, I'm just gonna. But I just think with Australia, like, it's a strange scenario for them because, I mean, Wales, I mean, they can't win a test match, say they're live at this rate. So you back them to win that game. I think Scotland, for example, I think Scotland's going to shoot themselves in the foot in one of these games. And for them, for us, hopefully it's on Saturday and on Sunday, and for the Wallabies, I'm hoping it's probably the week after. But there is nothing positive coming out. And I do feel bad for Josh Mills. I think he is a good coach. Mm. And I just think what the shit show that Eddie Jones did last year, I still think some sort of sabotage job because there's no way a side that was progressing so well beat the Bolts three times out of four times and then out of the blue, they just look like they cannot play rugby.
Oh, they capitulated completely.
So now I just think for Joe Schmidt, it's unfortunately, it's a great tour in terms of building depth, but the fact that you got to go from this into a British and Irish Lions tour, which is arguably the strongest ever British and Irish Lions sides were, I don't know, it could be a tough few weeks for him.
So are you saying one out of four, huh? Do you have anything else you can add to the tapestry of Australian shipments?
Look, the big positive, and we discussed it, you know, after the World Cup, is bringing international players back. They've made that adjustment. I've got them 2-2. That's it. That's all the positivity
so you,
I can
you
say.
You don't really rate Scotland, is what I'm picking up.
I don't. They're going to shoot themselves in the
foot. At least your opening monologue was sincere about you thinking no one watched Scotland
versus
Fiji.
Yeah, nobody watches Scotland. That's another thing. But I think because they're so underestimated, Australia, I think they've got something to prove against Scotland and they're going to pick up that one. I think it's going to be 2-2, Wales and Scotland. No chance against England. Absolutely no chance against Ireland.
Well, I mean, for 60 minutes they have no chance against England. Who knows what happened in the last 20?
I mean, I was so excited about getting to that second half last week because you've got a team who can't close out a game on both sides.
My goodness,
but what I also loved, I mean, again, it's funny, it's easy to pile into England. What I absolutely loved is how they lost that game is how they lost the semis against us.
Yeah.
Couldn't scrum.
Just couldn't do anything for 20 minutes.
Couldn't get the kicks. And then basically, Damien McKenzie, who missed so many clear kicks in the Rugby Championship, he came back looking like Andre Pollard.
Couldn't put together a last minute move to sort of get a drop call, which was I think anyone watches that, like any coach probably is like, guys, this is how not to try to set up for a drop call.
Yeah.
Like, just watch this and just don't do the opposite of this. And that's how you can win a game against.
But it was almost like they stopped before they had that scrum. They said to everyone, okay, everybody, we're doing five phases and then we're going to give it a forward because the defense was like there. The phase play was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh. The pass from the scrum off was loopy. Guys, you got to read the game. I mean, who's that new right wing for England? Just give him the ball.
Yeah, for your boss. Exactly. Yeah, just give him the ball.
That looks like he can do anything.
Just swing. Yeah, England.
Anything. All right, so we got to look at the Kiwis because they're already up and going in this autumn international series. And I say up and going, they've already played two games, essentially, because they played Japan on the way
England,
out.
Yeah.
You know, make the money. And then they played England, which they won 24-22. Narrowest of margins. So let's have a look at their remaining fixtures here because they've got a toughie. So yeah, they've come up and they've done that. But now the cost of the England game, Cody Taylor and Burden Barrett both took shots to the head.
Yeah, they're out.
Let's get away from Sandilia's monologue here. They both got HRIs or whatever, HRAs. So they're out with concussions. So they will be able to train in the week of the French game and they might be available for it, but they're completely out of the Irish test. So that's this weekend. And it's a Friday game as well, which also sucks for them because 6-day turnaround. Yeah, they should be better than that, but still. So Ireland this weekend, then they've got the game against France, and then the game that I think is fantastic is the Italy game, because they're going to go into that battered and bruised. Scott Robinson's eyes are literally going to be on fire by that stage because they're already bloodshot to shit. Yeah. And Italy, as we've mentioned a couple of times now, good Six Nations, they're on the up. I think this is a team that's benefiting hugely from United Rugby Championships.
Yep.
They're playing against top teams. They're playing against tough oaks too. So you can't rough Italy up like you used to be able to.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, New Zealand did well against England, but England really gave them a chance. Ugh. England, they were there, thereabouts, and then they got some belief. But you take away those two players, that's key against Ireland. I see them losing that.
Yeah.
And again, like I was saying, I think France are going to be a much better, more cohesive unit because it means so much for them, the series of matches. Mm-hmm. So from here on in, I'm going to say, controversially, they've won their game for the tour.
I mean, Italy's due to beat another big side besides the Springboks. I mean, they're still holding on to that 2016 win, so it would be great for them to knock off the All Blacks. But, I mean, I've got them beating Italy, but I've got them losing to France and Ireland.
Yeah.
And the Ireland one is not on the case of the All Blacks. It's more of a case of Ireland. Like, Ireland is, I mean, they're the best team in the world at the moment. And I do think there is a bit of a gap between Ireland, Springboks, and
yeah, I agree with you.
Like, there's a bit of a gap there. I think, obviously,
That's a really fair point because on every single, like, metric, yeah. I think so.
And now you think for me, the Ireland is, if you're the best team in the world, the same with Springboks, I'd have been very disappointed if we had lost a game with the All Blacks here at home, because I feel like we are a better side than them. We should actually win both of our games at home. And for Ireland is, if you're the best in the world, you beat this All Blacks side at home.
Yep.
Like, that's especially with Cody Taylor and Bowden Barrett, are probably the last two players for the All Blacks you're thinking who should be out, and you're thinking, oof.
Especially Cody Taylor. Yeah.
Oh, especially, I mean, Momoa's explosives of anything, just can't hit a bond or the lineup. So
thanks for a long 80 minutes.
Oh, what about the third choice now? Like, but I just think with the All Blacks, the France one is obviously is touch and go, but they haven't been France in a while in France.
Yeah.
Dupont's back, and I do think France could be slightly better. I just got them beating England and then beating Italy, which makes it a very tough year if you're an All Blacks fan. I mean, so
Cooks, I think, sorry, Sandile, before we get to you on that,
yeah.
I think the reason I'm saying about the Italy game is that if you look at that squad, their whole thing is that they weren't a great 80-minute team because they haven't got a bomb squad.
Yeah.
Now, that'll be their sixth game on this tour. Because as we said, they've already played... Sorry, Japan. It'll be the fifth game. So they've already played Japan, and they traveled because they've gone Japan all across here. That'll be the thing. And a lot of those guys, just like a lot of them never came to South Africa, haven't been here yet.
Yeah.
These are a lot of guys, this is their first autumn series in Europe. Mm-hmm. So I think if they played Italy this weekend, they'd beat them. But mileage in the clock, I reckon they've...
Yeah.
November 28th, Italy's got them.
Yeah, that mileage. I think they go 0-3. I really do think 0-3 with all those injuries, especially with, you know, marquee players. And it's, as you're saying, they've played way too much rugby before getting onto this tour. So I think it's 0-3, which is wild to say about this All Black team. Probably gonna regret that next week. But
so no breakdancing for Razor.
You know,
no. That's my question. When does he start doing breakdancing thing? Because you know the Crusaders, he broke dance every time they won a tournament in international rugby.
Yes.
Every test you play, you're basically winning some sort of trophy.
Yeah.
So there's no breakdancing in the Bledisloe Cup. So there's no breakdancing last week. So eventually the guys got a breakdown.
Nah.
That's what they're signing him up for, really.
You know, Cook, so there's no reason why I wanted you on the show today for the real big issues. I've been wondering this, but then is it just a trophy thing then? Because I agree with you, a test match is a trophy in itself.
Yeah.
Is it only a World Cup? Was it in his contract, yeah. Razor? You got to pack away the breakdancing, but you can bring it out only at World Cups.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's his incentive.
I think that's what
versus KPAs.
That's what they're struggling, because I mean, you knew the Crusaders, the breakdance is coming. So now I feel like with the test match, like, I mean, remember Argentina just invented a cup, the Puma Cup, after they beat us. Like, no one knew what
we were playing for. Nobody knew that we were playing for.
And they had a trophy left. And you're like, well, they retained it apparently. So I'm just saying, like, honestly, whenever the test match, there always seems to be some sort of trophy left. And Razor has not broke. They're not dancing. So I feel like for me, that's enough to call him in. At a meeting in the years of performance space. Like, where's the dancing?
So relax with the dancing as well.
But look, it would have been great if, like, he pulls in England and does a breakdance after, like, that win last week, which wasn't the greatest thing. They were actually quite lucky. But speaking of funny trophies, before we get to the box and their fixture list, and, of course, talking about their big threats, I mean, they've got the worst tour of all of them, I think. But I recently learned about the Rayburn Shield. So, Cooks, you know what it is, but Sandile, how cool is this? The Rayburn Shield is the Linear World Championships. So obviously Ireland have never won a Rugby World Cup, but they're the current holders of the Raeburn Shield. So back in 1871 in Raeburn in Edinburgh was the first test match between Scotland and England. Scotland won that day. They became the Raeburn Shield winners, okay? And then up until I think it was 1887, Ireland won it for the first time away from those two teams. So whoever holds it is deemed the linear world champion. So it's kind of like boxing. So in 2019, for example, Japan beat Ireland. So they were the Raeburn Shield holders. Normally what happens is you can only be, only a few teams can be world champions. The Raeburn Shield, though, is this thing that lives in a parallel universe where you can be have the bragging rights of being the best team. Look at it. It's a handsome thing. It's virtual, of course. There's no such thing. But I think this is one of the coolest under...
It's an AI.
It's a ChatGPT World Cup.
Basically, it's a rugby NFT.
Yeah, I was just like, what is this?
If you want, if you give us $10, you can get the Raeburn Shield. Tian will give you a JPEG.
This is the COSAFA Cup of rugby all over again, isn't it?
I think it's kind of fun.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's kind of fun, though. I like it. Because like you said, it's the fact that it's like, you're always putting up sort of something. It's always something, you know, it's always like some sort of like, I mean... Every test match sort of matters more now. For example, like if you're playing against Ireland, you're going, okay, cool. You can also beat them and have a Raeburn Shield, like sort of being the leading champion, because you got to beat the team that has it.
Yeah, just like in boxing.
Yeah.
So Tonga, is it Tonga or Samoa playing Ireland this weekend? I forget now.
So they could be Raeburn champions.
They could be the Raeburn championships. Yeah. Romania might get a match against the box one. Portugal could have been the Raeburn champions in Bloom, but they lost.
It's COSAFA Cup all over again. I don't even want to get into it. This is a waste of our time as rugby fans. Come on, guys.
Okay, shut down. There's also the... fuck. I knew I was going to forget this. No, let's move on.
Going to annoy you, isn't it?
No, it's going to annoy me because I did the prep on this. The women have a shield too, okay, from their first ever test match played, and it's completely slipped my mind. I tried a lot of the show completely unscripted, and as you can see, I've cocked that up.
Let's keep it pushing.
So we're going to go into the box fixtures now. Yeah. As I said, they probably got the worst because I don't know if ICC were involved in this, but they only got three test matches.
Probably were.
So this weekend, Sunday, 6 o'clock South African time, they'll be running out onto the amazing turf of Murrayfield, taking on a spirited and probably overconfident Scottish team. Then we play England next Saturday, and then we wrap it up against Wales. So it's easy to say we can win this 3 out of 3. I don't think there's too many tests here. I think the test matches you want are Ireland and France at the end of the year.
Yep.
Because I just feel like these teams, we're in a configuration where we do play them more. I've done the stats, which I've obviously forgotten about, but we do play these teams a lot more than the other teams. We play Ireland and France less.
Yep.
If you take all the autumn internationals that we've ever had since, I don't know, 2000, whatever it is, these are the three teams we play the most. We always seem to play England. Maybe they've just got a reciprocity or something. I'm going to go 3-0. I don't think anyone on this couch is going to disagree with me on that.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Yeah. I think 3-0 is, I think it's a pass mark for Springboks. I mean, Wales, basically, we've got a contract with them like once here. It's like us, we play Sri Lanka in a series. In fact, the pros always played Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
But I just think the interesting enough thing with the box, the way I see it, is people say, like, obviously the tour is quite easy and there's nothing to play for. I just think there is, because you look back at the other greatest Springboks side who talked about it, it's the 09 side. People act like that season ended after the rugby championship. We won the Tri Nations and no one speaks about what happened on tour. We had a bad tour. Whereas for me, I think this current Springboks side is the greatest Springboks side. But I think they can cement that with the tour going to the UK and winning all three games, because it's been a while since we've actually gone on tour and won all three games. Yes,
absolutely.
We've dropped a game here and there to maybe a shitty Wales side, or England has picked up a win or when they shouldn't have. So I think for me, it's again continuing the marker we've led the whole year, the rest of the guys going, we are the best team in the world. And to do that is to go and put up a performance in England and in England, Scotland, Wales, and a good performance win come to, because I can't remember the times we've gone in a tour in the North and win favourites for all three games.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I think for me, it's an interesting challenge of, like, another All Blacks of old used to go to every game and as favourites. And go and dominate and put 40 points on those sides in the North. So I think that's what the Springboks, we can do that and go there and dominate and show, like, we are the best side in the world and must put that to bed. Ireland can have the rankings if so be, but I think it's an interesting, but also I think it's an exciting tour for the Blacks.
Yeah, I also agree with you there. I also think this will be a cementing of all-time teams in rugby. If they go and clean up, you know, we kind of have to put them there with that New Zealand team because they've won basically everything they could. So let's go and win it. I would have loved it to be the Willy Leroux, you know, 100 cap tour, but
the Willy, all three games, it'll be
like I said, I would have. I'm not putting anything out there. I just know. Well, you know, Willy.
I mean, we look, the Willy 100 is what we all want.
Yeah.
But then you look at, I'm not playing a game without Fussy. I'm just not going to do it. Is Willy on the bench? Are we going to have a 4-4 bench or whatever? Look, the thing about what you're saying about cementing stuff is that there was always the narrative as like the Boks are a World Cup to World Cup team. You know, yeah, they kind of have these little things. And that's why someone like Ireland has all that sort of yappiness about them. Look, it sucked that we lost the Rayburn Shield to Ireland and Durban.
Even knew about the Rayburn, the AI Shield at that time.
But it's just, every single game for the Boks now is a great opportunity because they're the biggest targets in world rugby.
100%.
And the point you made there about the favorites is so spot on, is that it's a different kind of thing now. Mm. And the Boks always liked being underdogs, but now they've got to be okay with the fact and play rugby to talk to the fact that they are now the favorites. And so 100%. Get their big swinging dick. This is what we're going to do. We're going to dictate things. And that's how this tour is giving us a chance to do it for the first time.
We can't always have an emotional story. Like, yeah. Sometimes we've got to have like...
I mean, unfortunately, like the parties that James goes to, your back doesn't always have to be against the wall. Yeah. And that's where I really want to go now.
Did the wrong thing with that monologue. I apologize, James. I've made you a talk.
But it is true. I just want the Springboks. Like, my thing is, like, as I understand we are building towards 2027. Yeah. Is a goal, but I definitely think we can build and be dominant at the same time. We've got the players. We've got the squad to do it. And, like, I just like, I want to live in a life where we beat England for 4 tests in a row. Where teams fear us going there as opposed to going like, oh, the Boks might just drop one on tour. Because I almost felt like we used to have that sense during World Cups. We're like, it's always an odd game we just drop. And you're like, oh, geez, where did that, like, this performance will come from nowhere. Like, you know, the Argentina one, I mean, that probably was it, but surely we can't.
Yeah. And I'm with you in terms of there doesn't have to be a great story to everything that we do. Sometimes they just go kick ass.
Winning is a great story sometimes. Yeah. Exactly.
Winning is the best story, and now we're in a position to do that.
Yeah.
And right from the get-go, Rusty said, I'm taking the best possible squad here. I'm not trying a few Oaks to see what they're like.
Yeah.
There was a lot of trial already. Okay, there's been some injuries subsequently to the squad announcement. A few other guys have come in that could look more experimental. Mm-hmm. But a guy like Cameron Hanekom, I don't think it's about if he becomes a Bok. It's like when he becomes a Bok. Yeah. You know, guys that get fit into those kind of cliches because the pedigree, I think, is there.
Yeah.
And current URC form is solid.
Yeah.
So that Bok squad sent out a huge message. Yeah. And now to finish off the sentence, so to speak, with three killer performances.
100%.
And yeah, I think the Wales game's obviously the easiest of all of those games, taking nothing away from them. But I think at Twickenham, I think we're going to put on an absolute masterclass. Nope. I think first game against Scotland, I think first game against Scotland will be quite testing. But I think England are going to catch it against us.
What's our Willy card now in terms of caps? Is it 97? I mean,
I can't see the Willy. No, when are we playing?
Portugal.
Italy.
No, where's Willy? Like, Willy's from Strand, right? Or Bulleard.
Yeah, from Strand, yeah.
If we can somehow get a test match at, like, the Bulleard Cavalier.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the Willy?
In Wellington.
Oh, if
we move one of the Italy test next year to Wellington, let Willy
make it happen.
Let Willy run out for his 100th.
I mean, Willy 100. I mean, he needs to Rusty, just give us 3 minutes or something for the group.
Like, everybody wants Willy to get there, and because the squad is so strong and Willy has been so integral, it's not like when you had Halcott Muller, you said, like, we're going to keep him for another 3 years so you can get 200 caps for Free State.
Yeah.
Willy's still a good player. I mean, he still should be there. Okay, Sandhya, seeing as you were so neglecting last time with Cooks and his beer, I think top him up.
Oh, yes.
We've got to wrap up the second section because as much as I love rugby, and I could talk about rugby for years, it's also quite a compelling weekend of football as well. I say that because Arsteers are taking on Chelsea, which is going to be a pretty much major game in itself. Right back after this little break, more on that. For the 38th time this year, what a weekend we have sports-wise.
Yep.
It is so exciting. Not the hugest amount of sport. There's no Formula One, for example, this weekend. But then it's kind of done because, well, Max rocked up last weekend in Brazil, dropped his rods, said to Lando, look at these, and proceeded to win from 15th.
And as per usual, Checo is nowhere to be seen.
Well, Pierre Spies attended more rucks than Checo Perez has, like prominent places in the grid. So there'll be no Formula One this weekend. There is a bit of golf, the Abu Dhabi Championships, which is normally like a very early in the season event. It's now the second last event of the DP World Tour. So there'll be a star-studded field. Of course, we've got the Nedbank Golf Challenge happening in a month's time. We've got an actual podcast series around that with Sun International as well, which we're going to share with you in due course. I chat to, amongst others, Gary Player.
Oh, the GOAT. Shout out to him.
He was on form this week. Again, story for another time. So we're going to start off with cricket, because cricket is back. Woo-hoo. We were so good in Bangladesh. We gave those Oaks a drubbing. And now, the grudge match, which they're trying to sell it as, and everyone's going, what? Huh? We don't. Everyone's moved past the T20 World Cup final.
Moved past.
We're already so scarred. It doesn't even hurt us. But now they're trying to sell this as the big rematch of the. No, we're playing India. Okay, everyone, just settle down. It's a four T20 series starting this Friday. Cooks, I mean, look, Sandile hates cricket despite his dress today. Fucking hates the game. What's your take on this? I mean, are you excited about this? Because it's essentially the start of a pretty long summer.
Yeah, 100%. No, I'm excited. I mean, it's always great to have some cricket, especially if it's at Wanderers. I mean, that's always great to have some cricket. But it's always weird. Like these, I mean, T20 cricket is a strange thing for me, especially like now, because it's just like mini series that just rock out of nowhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's like a four match T20 series, and you're like, and then you're going to a test match. You're like, what happened? Wow, are those guys here for a month or for a week? But yeah, I'm excited. I think obviously it's always great when you take on India. I mean, it looks like the Wanderers is sold out. And I'm just, it's more, I think, funny enough for me, like in December, like it's not blaming India. It's for me like December or November, it's test match first. So I mean, I'm almost in that test match mode. Obviously with India, Australia coming out soon. We got Sri Lanka. I think it's like, it's almost like a bit of an appetizer first, watch a bit of cricket. But
like T20 cricket is the chicken wrap of the game. Like you don't say no if you want something, but ultimately it's not what you crave. I know it's not what I crave.
Guys, come on. You guys know T20 is the most exciting thing to happen to cricket in a long time. As much as you guys loved that Bangladesh series, you're probably the only two guys in the world who cared what happened to them throughout that series. I told you about that a couple of weeks ago. If KG didn't get that record, nobody would have cared about that series, you know?
No, but we're in that mix now. But I was
in which mix? Please don't throw your words around
loosely. In the World Test Championship. What I'm saying is, like, I agree with you. You say T20 cricket is very exciting. Yeah. I mean, it is a fantastic day out of T20 game. It is. It's always been a great evening out. And I think that's more the nice thing about it. It's a great way to start the summer. Mm-hmm. I'll say for me, the way I see it is, it's a bit of an appetizer. And then we've got sort of the test matches coming up. And then we've got a whole month of... good couple of months of very good cricket.
No, but I really want to cement this, seeing as we're getting quite heated about cricket here, is that you don't really look forward to the T20 series happening, but you like watching it.
Yeah.
So that's why I made the chicken wrap analogy. You don't go, yes, I hope they put that just a bit of mayo on. I hope the tortilla wrap is just a little bit toasted. You never say, I can't wait for this. Whereas in the test cricket, you go, I can't wait to see KG bowl to this oak. I can't wait to see this oak bat. I can't wait to see what we do. Because there's aspects of test match cricket that are meaty. T20 is like, well, I hope that those guys score more than the other team.
You know, I want to give you an analogy and Cooks will get it.
Oh, you're going hard on analogies today.
Test cricket is like, you know, the rama thing in the back of your mom's freezer that you think is going to be rama, but it's just filled with rice. It's really not the guy that you guys think it is.
The problem is that Nita spends the 26 trying to swim in the ocean the one time, the few times he goes to the beach. That's why he doesn't worry about test cricket.
Look, it's going to be super exciting. Look, it's India versus SA.
Are you going to the games? Are you going to the Wanderers?
I'm not
going
to go. I'm going to watch it somewhere
peaceful. Are you sure? Because I'm sure in that shirt you get it for free.
No, man. For me, look, T20 is so bite-sized. Anybody can enjoy it. I think that's why it's super exciting. I will always fight you guys about this test match cricket thing. It is really not the guy you think it is. It's going to be a super exciting fixture for me.
Personally. Okay, well, if you do like the test matches, there'll be a Sri Lankan test, I think, which no one's going to care about. And I will side with you on that because it's Sri Lanka. Those folks come from civil war and not having any sort of domestic cricket. They're not going to put it the biggest fight. But we've got Pakistan or whatever they're bringing. I'm not entirely sure. I'll look into it. But that is the traditional Boxing Day, New Year's Day kind of test matches. But at the same time, we've got India in Australia for five test matches.
I want you guys to tune in every single day and every single
test
ball
cricket
to that.
Test cricket is, it's a great watch. I mean, like, obviously it's about, it's like you said, I think it is cricket in December. It goes hand in hand. It's always been 26th. You wake up in the morning, yes, and you watch the last session from the test in Australia, straight into the Proteas test. And that's always been the case. I mean, Sandile's trying to find his way to get to the beach during that time.
Yeah, bro.
And that's why he probably doesn't enjoy test cricket.
No. It's like Days of Our Lives. Just, it never ends. I mean, geez, test cricket. Yeah, test cricket is terrible, guys. Jeez. Okay. Give me T20 and IPL all the time. Yeah, all right. I can
okay.
do it.
Settle down. Okay, so we touched on it earlier. Just to reiterate for what's happening rugby-wise this weekend. Kicks off Friday night. Ireland are going to be hosting New Zealand at 10 o'clock. It's a bit of a late one there. We got 5 or 6 Guinnesses in before you even mm-hmm. know what's going on.
You're going to Babylon.
Babylon show thrashings, but none of that kind. Saturday, we've got England versus Australia. That'll be at 5. That's going to be very entertaining. Italy versus Argentina just before 8 there. I think 7:40. I could be slightly wrong with that. All time, South African time, of course. GM2 plus 2. And then France, Japan. That could be interesting for about 25 minutes. They're going to pull away. That's Saturday at 10. And then Sunday, big one. Wales versus Fiji. They'll be very competitive. Huge competitive. Those two teams also seem to play each other in the World Cups a lot.
All the time.
So it's kind of like the European derby for Fiji. And Fiji last week, just to go back to the fact that Sandile said nobody watched that game, mostly because it wasn't in the international window. So Scotland got a really big result against Fiji last week. Well done. But it wasn't their best team. Mm. They were basically playing that South
Fijian Drua side that plays Super Rugby.
Fijian, Durian, whatever the fucking Super Rugby team was. Mm. But Fiji full team against Wales. Tasty match. That'll be at 20-4 on Sunday. Then the big one.
Yes, sir.
Scotland versus South Africa. 6 o'clock. Oh, it's going to be a big Sunday, huh?
It's going to be electric. That is, you know, anytime the box play, always super awesome.
It's a big Sunday.
Yeah, well, look, you know, we
all
know.
At the same time as well. Chelsea-Austin.
So this is where it gets tricky, Cooks, and thanks for bringing it up. This is where it gets tricky. Let's start off with Saturday first, because we always like to talk about when Man United play. And then Sandile gets this little blip of excitement. And as the words come out of his mouth, he's like, oh, fuck, they're going to lose, aren't they? Saturday, Brighton versus Man City. Now, Man City got a lot to do here. They dropped points to the might of Bournemouth, which respectable teams have lost to in recent times.
Come on, let's move on.
7:30 on Saturday. And then Sunday, Liverpool versus Aston Villa. That's a really big one. James over here in the shadows.
I mean, we're going to give you the platform.
Gotta say, guys, I've let you talk the whole show. I do just have to say, top of the Champions League, top of the Premier League. Life is good. That's all I'll say.
Are you going to boast or are you going to add sporting insights here? James, this is a professional sports podcast.
I think Liverpool could, in the grand scheme of the season itself, I think they might be able to do it. They stand more of a chance than Arsenal does.
Oof.
Against Aston Villa are in really, really decent form. So it might be a bit of a tough game, but I still back the boys to pull through for that one. And another win this weekend for the boys. That's what I say.
All right. Very good. Straight away to Man United. They haven't quite got their new Portuguese coach just yet.
Yeah.
Ipswich, that'll be the first game.
Yeah, Ipswich off the international break.
Okay.
But we've got, you know, living legend Ruud van Nistelrooy backing us through.
Still there.
All chaos, no tactics. Let's go.
He knows the club, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's there doing a job. I mean, he's your guy. So Man United versus Leicester at 4. Now, I know Man United fans are going to go, oh, we blew them away in the Carabao-Cassafa. But that wasn't Leicester's strongest team either. They pulled a bit of a Fiji there. So your 5 goals. Cool.
Come on, Ben, let's move forward.
Lovely runaway. So I think that game's going to be pretty tight. Then we've got new absolute surging talents of the English Premier League. Nottingham, I will fuck you up, Forest. They are taking on Newcastle. They also had a huge win last week against Arsenal. 4 o'clock that match. Spurs versus Ipswich. Spurs? We need a Spurs fan somewhere in here.
I actually wanted to ask you guys what we genuinely think of Spurs this season. I mean, they've had some pretty good games and some
pretty
damn terrible ones.
Well, that's pretty much Spurs summed up then.
Okay. James, just hang on a second. Flex, can we get the log of the English Premier League currently, just so we can have a look?
Why do we have to do that?
Okay, Spurs don't feature in the top 6, so James, we are not going to talk about them. As you can see, there's Liverpool.
Well, with that logic, we shouldn't talk about Man United either.
Yeah, Arsenal on 5th. They're just biding their time there in the slipstream. Liverpool, look, they've done well here. Played 10, won 8, drawn 1, lost 1 to Nottingham Forest. Yeah. Guns. They currently are top there on 25. Man City's played 10, won 7, lost 2.
We're already that far in the season.
Sorry, drawn two and lost one. So they're 2 points back. And then Nottingham Forest is the big surprise, but obviously they won't kick on. But I mean, it's just great to see like an absolute no horse town roll in there.
Yep.
And then, yeah, Cook's number fourth there. So fourth place, fifth. Arsenal versus Chelsea this weekend. That is the big game. It will be at Stamford Bridge. Look, Arsenal are going to bring a lot to the table here because it's done. Oh, if I could have just packaged Sandile's face, so that would have been the NFT, the show you can sell on.
Wait, please. Again.
Yeah, Arsenal got the captain back. Declan Rice isn't going to be going to... Declan Rice is taking a breather this week, so he won't be playing Champions League. So that team's going to be... Oh, no, fuck it. They're going to disappoint us again.
I've been waiting for this part of the show.
Carry on. I've got nothing.
So Arsenal's playing Chelsea this weekend, and I must say, Chelsea, let us go. And just let's just get Arsenal out the way so I can continue with my show next week, because Arsenal has been the gift that's been giving for the past 2 weeks. Every week, we're going to turn it around. We're going to turn it around. And let me tell you something. Oh, Chelsea, I'm going to give you a drubbing, but oh, I cannot wait to watch. Cooks, I am backing you so much on this.
You basically just jinxed us, though.
That's no. Don't worry.
I'm ready to actually make... You want to bet?
Oh, let's go.
What do you want to bet?
You know, I've been in ice baths. I've been in anything.
Ice baths.
I don't want to see you shirtless down for the next one.
You'll wear the what?
So whatever I win, it requires you wearing a shirt.
Okay, you will wear a Man United jersey next week if Chelsea does the Lord's work.
I think it's only fair you wear an Arsenal one.
Oh.
Also, just think about this.
No, it's a great bet because he's already looked very comfy at Liverpool one. I want to get like a full house.
I'll back it. Let's go Chelsea on this one.
I like this. Like
all right, Cook, so a lot of side shows about your team has been prostituted amongst all kinds of lines.
100%. No, I don't know whether I want to see you in a...
That'll be the lowest of the low of water.
The answer is always seeing Sandile in the show.
Yeah.
Okay, but like in all seriousness though, Chelsea fucked it a little bit last weekend. I think that they should have closed that game out. I mean, I was saying for a position of someone who bet on them.
I mean, obviously, Sandile is heavy. I mean, like you said, they're probably at the chance of Garnacho won. But I mean, like, it's a game, like, I do feel like we should have won. And this for Chelsea, I think the frustrating thing is the big sides. That's where we've not sort of done well. I mean, United obviously gifted us a point. And then we lost to City, we lost to Liverpool. So now as a Chelsea fan, there's different growth and there's definite, you know, we've gotten so much better. But now it's like, can we actually just beat a big side? That's all it is. I mean,
and this is the weekend for it, huh?
And this is the weekend for it. I mean, this is the thing is, if we just get through this weekend, then our run of fixtures after the international break is a good run of fixtures again, where we can sort of get ourselves in a position to sort of push for maybe top two, as we have before this run. So I don't talk about teams that are below
go ahead. No, sorry, my bad.
We are building
you. I heard you say top two. Sorry, my
top
bad.
Two.
Whoa.
We are rebuild. It's taken us. What? When this is in August? You guys have been rebuilding since Fergie left.
No, listen. Don't make this about me. Make this about me.
You're about to ruin another young Portuguese manager in Ruben. The thing is...
Please don't make this about me.
I want to make it... Anyway, don't get me jinx into Moresca. Yeah. The real... No, but I just feel like we have to sort of start beating these big sides. I think that's probably the next step. And I think we can. I think this weekend to prove that. I mean, if you told me come November, we have a chance to be third, I'll take that and run. In November, kind of be third, then sort of going into December, well, off the digital break, and sort of anything can happen from there. So, yeah, a win would be greatly appreciated. I just don't know how I'm going to try to balance that game in the box at the same time.
It is quite, well, look, it starts at 6:30, so you can always catch the last little bit without a conflict. But it'll be one of those things, like, you know, that's why Sandile goes to bench warmers to watch everything.
Thank you.
Because it's multi-screens.
No, I think
and everyone there knows he's the boss. They can't riff him off about Man United.
Great plug there. Love you, Ben.
So AFCON qualifiers are coming up next Friday. But finally, we're back in the mix. That's pretty much all for the sport for this weekend, of course. Yeah. Cricket, rugby, football. There's a bit of golf. Next weekend, we've got MMA back on, UFC. John Jones is finally fighting Stipe Miocic. I mean, this has been... It's kind of like sporting constipation. We just need to pass this fight now. because that heavyweight division needs to go back to life.
Yeah.
John Jones, we want to see him. We want to see him finally get the best Oaks. Miocic is a firefighter. He's 42. He hasn't fought in like 3 years. It's a legacy. It's a legacy fight.
Sandile's fought more than John Jones.
Yes. On the show, just today. Just today. All right, Cooks, thanks so much for joining us today. It's so great having you in the studio. Sandile, please never wear that shirt again.
Mix it up.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's like you're a different person today, although I have appreciated Holdy. Yeah. Follow us on the social media. We've got this really cool one-on-one series with our proud partners, obviously Heineken Zero and Clipdrift, and our man Dimitri, who you've met recently. We're churning those out every single week. Such a great guy. And of course, follow us on social media, interact with us over the weekend, then we'll bring some of the stuff through to the week. James, that's pretty much it, huh? I've put everything into that show.
You did mention it, but this week we dropped the first episode of Our Road to the NGC. You did mention it already, but it has been dropped.
Thanks, James. Just make it sound a bit more appetizing than that. the Road to the NGC up. Podcast, brought to you by Sun International, is really cool. It's one of the most fun little pieces of content that I've made. It's a five-part series going into Africa's major. It's something we could all be very proud about as a tournament, which just goes back to 1981 when I was born. And it's just a really cool thing to look forward to in the first weekend of December. So, all of that and so much more. Catch us back next week, same time, same place. And of course, tell your friends. Ciao.